AT&T connects an ode to podcast. Connect the alarm, change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze, 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower, lather up with the news, sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work and traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories, change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
You know you've got a comeback in you. When you take the next step, you're going to make it count. For your career, for your family, for your life. You can earn a degree you're proud of with Purdue Global. Purdue Global is backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected and innovative public universities. This is your chance. This is your opportunity. This is your comeback. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Got my Prevnar 20 shot. It's a pneumococcal pneumonia vaccine. For us, wise folks, it helps protect.
I'm 19, strong.
And asthmatic, and at higher risk? Get vaccinated.
But
nothing when grandma speaks.
Grandson listens.
19 or older with chronic conditions like asthma, diabetes, or chronic heart disease, or 65 plus, you may be at higher risk for pneumococcal pneumonia. Prevnar 20 can help protect you with just one dose.
Prevnar 20 is approved for adults to help prevent infections from 20 strains of the bacteria that cause pneumococcal pneumonia. Continued approval may depend on a supportive study. Don't get Prevnar 20 if you've had a severe allergic reaction to the vaccine or its ingredients. Adults with weakened immune systems may have a lower response to the vaccine. Side effects include pain and swelling at the injection site, fatigue, headache, muscle, and joint pain. For full prescribing information, please call 1-855-213-2138 or visit Prevnar 20.com.
Ask your doctor or pharmacist about getting vaccinated with Prevnar 20, even if you've already received another pneumococcal pneumonia vaccine.
Get emotional with me, Radhi Devlukia, in my new podcast, A Really Good Cry. We're going to be talking with some of my best friends.
I didn't know we were going to go there on this.
People that I admire.
When we say listen to your body, really tune in to what's going on.
Authors of books that have changed my life.
Now you're talking about sympathy, which is different than empathy.
Yeah. Never forget, it's okay to cry as long as you make it a really good one. Listen to A Really Good Cry with Radhi Devlukia on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Are you ready to take charge of your health journey? Look no further than Trinity School of Natural Health. With their flexible online programs, you can receive the comprehensive education you need to care for your loved ones or step into the thriving field of natural health. Why choose Trinity? Because their programs offer more than just coursework. You'll interact with experienced instructors, connect with like-minded peers, and even participate in optional live events to hone your skills. If you've ever thought about becoming a certified natural health professional, the CNHP program at Trinity School of Natural Health is the perfect certification course. You'll equip yourself with the knowledge and skills to make a real difference in the lives of others. Turn your passion for natural health into a rewarding career. Visit trinityschool.org today to learn more about the Certified Natural Health Professional Certification Program. Go to trinityschool.org. That's trinityschool.org. Trinity School of Natural Health. Transform your life. Transform the world.
This episode contains sensitive topics. Listener discretion is advised. What's up, professional homegirls? It's your professional homegirl, Ebonet, and we are back for season 2 premiere. How are y'all doing? I hope all is cute. I am so excited for season 2, if you couldn't tell. And I have so many great conversations for you all to hear. But before we start, let's do some housekeeping, okay? First and foremost, y'all, please make sure you subscribe to the YouTube page at The Professional Homegirl. Full videos of each episode are dropping every Friday, so please make sure to support because production costs ain't cheap, okay? Next up, follow the Instagram page at The PhD Podcast. We are halfway to 10K, even though I think we should have already been there, but that's another story. And the goal is to hit it within this quarter. I might even do some giveaways, so if I do, hold me down, don't hold me up. Also, we are adding a new segment to the show, Ask Ebonet. This would be your chance to ask me for some advice, or if you want to send me some love, or just share your thoughts on a previous episode, you can now email me at hello@thepsgpodcast.com. And I'm also thinking about doing a solo episode really, really soon. So please email me your questions. Now, before we start this week's episode, because I know y'all fiending, I want to give y'all some behind the scenes. This has been the hardest episode, y'all, I have ever done in a very, very long time, to the point where I didn't even want to put this episode out, okay? Throughout the entire episode, there were times where I couldn't even find the words during the conversation, because looking back, I believe this episode triggered me. You know, I always get asked, how do I cover so many heavy topics? And to be honest, they don't really bother me unless it pertains to childhood. And during the conversation with my guest, the whole time I was thinking, like, why did this happen to her, God? And I think what really triggered me was that, I don't know if you can hear it, but to me, it sounded like throughout our conversation, she reverted back to the age she was during that time. I don't know. Maybe it's me, but let me know your thoughts by emailing me at hello@thepsgpodcast.com. And also, y'all will be able to see my full expressions once the video drops on Friday. So let me know your thoughts, because I don't know. I think that was the most difficult part, was hearing how her language and her tone changes throughout the conversation. And, you know, the episode was so triggering that I didn't even want to put it out, like, dead ass. I spoke to my network about it during one of our meetings, and I just wanted to get some feedback from them. And, you know, I damn near cried during that conversation with them, because it was just so hard for me to even explain what I was experiencing during a conversation with my guest. I spoke to my producer, Taylor, about it, and he gave me his opinion as well as some different ways we can tackle it if I did decide to put it out. And honestly, after praying and just sitting in my thoughts, you know, the one thing that I kept hearing was, this is your why. This is the reason why you started the professional homegirl. And like I always say, you will never find another one better or better than a professional homegirl. So with that being said, season 2 premiere, My Father's Mistress Killed My Mother, is starting now. So to my guest, thank you so much for being on the show. How are you doing? How are you feeling?
I'm okay. Today been a great day.
Oh, well, great is good. What happened today, if you don't mind sharing?
Oh, I got my money back.
Okay. What, you got your taxes?
No. Someone owed me some money, and I had to run them down. You know, you got to keep your money in your pocket.
You beat somebody up?
No. I'm too old for that. Oh, I'll be 50 in a few months. Mm-mm.
You'll be 50?
Oh, you see two old people on the ground, and you had to help both of us up.
You don't even look like you're about to be 50.
Yeah. I'll be in a few months anyway.
Okay, 50. Okay. Well, if I don't speak to you, happy early birthday.
Thank you.
The fact that you're about to turn 50, like, how does it feel sharing your story, and what has been the most significant aspect of this of your story?
How I changed in my 40s.
Right.
I used to be so ashamed, because, you know, you are taught to keep things in the family, don't talk to anybody about it,
especially in the black community.
Yeah, but that is what contributes to the depression and the anxiety, because that we keep it bottled up and make us feel as if that we had played a part in the abuse.
Right.
Like that we did something did or said something to cause it.
Right, like you blame yourself for it.
Yes, when you had to keep quiet. And I realized that, no, keeping quiet is only helping the pedophile.
Yeah.
And it causes, and when you hold things like that in, it can develop into mental illness.
Yeah, that's a fact. Uh-huh. That's a fact. You know, a lot of people who do have mental illness, some of that does stem from trauma.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And keeping silent, no. And plus that... And keeping silent allows the pedophile to go from home to home or child to child. abusing.
Right.
You know? And I want to know who's the pedophile among men.
Right.
Don't protect them. They don't need protection. The child needs protection.
Right. And how long you been sharing your story? Like, have you recently started sharing or?
Just recently. What made me want to share my story was just last year. Mm-hmm. And then I say, it's just popping in my head. Maybe I can do this. Maybe I can share my story too. And plus watching other people's stories, it made me feel like I'm not alone.
Yeah.
And I'm much older, but still the feeling of shame and fear is still be with you, even though you can live your life, but it's always there.
Yeah.
But sharing my story, it helps.
Yeah.
It helps relieve stress. I didn't know that just talking about it can help you mentally and emotionally.
So you just started sharing your story a year ago?
Yeah.
Wow. So 40.
Yeah. Well, less than a year ago.
Wow. So you've been holding on to the story for 49 years.
Yes. Matter of fact, I just told my brother, about 2 months ago, about our oldest brother raping me and stuff. Not all my family know about the abuse.
Right.
But my family members that live with me, but not the ones on the outside.
And what did your brother say about that? Because I was going to bring that up later, but since we're here, what did your brother say?
Thing is, he was shocked. He basically like, for real, you know, for real, he did that to you. My sister-in-law said that I wish I had known about this earlier. Because that she used to beat him up when they were young, and she said, I would have just beat him up more for you.
Right. You say your sister-in-law, so she's not married to the brother that was sexually abusing. Oh, okay.
No. This is another lady. The one who sexually abused me, he never married.
Where is he at now?
Oh, where he should be. Dead.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. He died, but thing is, though, he died a good death. He died from a heart attack.
Wow. You know, when I heard your story, the moment I was able to catch my breath, you exposed something else, and I'm just like, this can't be real. Like, I feel like from the age of 5 to maybe in your, like, your 20s, I feel like it was just nonstop.
It was nonstop. And then when I allowed myself just to think about my life, I'm thinking, I'm surprised that I have a sanity.
Yeah, I'm surprised you're still here.
Yeah. But that doesn't mean that, you know, I didn't have trouble being here, because that 5 years old was when I first was molested, but it also was the age that I first attempted suicide.
Mm.
5 years old. And I don't know how I knew about death and suicide such, but I tried taking a lot of Tylenol.
You know what's so crazy? Did you used to watch a lot of cartoons? I'm pretty sure you used to watch a lot of cartoons, right? It may have came from cartoons. I had a conversation with this one of my guests, and she tried to commit suicide when she was a kid. And she took a lot of pills too. So I was like, and she was like doing all these interviews. And I'm like, how did she know to take these pills? So when I asked her, she was like, nobody ever asked me that. And she said, I learned from watching the cartoons.
Really? That's probably what I learned it from.
Yeah. Or she was just like, I knew that if I was to stop, if I take one pill, it'll stop the headache. So she was like, I knew if I was to take more, maybe it'll stop me.
I just thought about dying. I didn't think about no headache.
Yeah.
I just wanted the pain to stop.
Yeah. So let's start from the beginning. Tell us about your family life before the tragic incident. Because I feel like you had a good family, the way that you were describing it.
It was. Yeah. Before my mother died, she died also when I was 5. I lived with my mother and my father and my grandpa. My mother worked, my dad worked, and my grandfather lived with us. And
was he sick or
my grandfather?
Yeah, or was he just older?
Just old.
Okay.
He was just old. no. At that he did eventually develop diabetes, but that was years later. He did that.
Mm-hmm.
But before then, it was just normal. My mama, she used to treat me like a little doll. I was her only girl. She had four kids, and I was her only girl. Mm-hmm. Reason why I know she did this, because that's one of the things that my auntie and my grandfather told me, reason why they hated me, is because my mother treated me this way.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And other people told me too about how that my mother always had my hair done.
Well, you was her baby girl.
She was just proud of her only daughter.
Yeah. Yeah. What was your parents' relationship like, your mom and dad?
From what I remember or felt during that time, it was good until my daddy wanted to cheat.
Right.
Yeah. Because I remember, only reason why, I don't remember the whole thing, but I remember little clips, and then other people filled in those clips for me, is that when my daddy was screaming, and then my mother was running towards him with something in her hand. So later on, with people talking about the event, then I remember, oh, okay, that one was going on. My daddy wanted my mama to stay home because that, you know, they later find out because that he was meeting up with another woman at this place and my mother was going. And so he hit her. And so she got an iron skillet and started hitting him with, she hit him with an iron skillet. Then he took off running because that he thought that she was just going to beat him to death because that, you know, hit my mama and you're going to get dealt with.
Right.
You know, she was a small woman, but she, you know, defended herself. But they said that's the only time they would really have conflicts is when he wanted to go see other women.
So was he always a cheater or like, I mean, I guess she is always a cheater, right? Mm-hmm.
As far as I know, that was the only time he cheated. Well, I said, as far as I know.
Right. So
I'm pretty sure he probably needed women. Probably.
And do you think your mom knew about his cheating?
Yes. That's the reason why she died.
Why? Before the incident, I'm talking about before then, did she?
Yes. Her and the lady, they had gotten into a physical fight before.
Mm.
And, you know, people in the neighborhood, they would come up and just start talking about my mother, you know, telling me about it. Because no one said anything bad about my mom except for my auntie. But everyone else, they knew her. They said they loved her and how kind she was and quiet.
Right.
Then they were telling me about the lady who killed my mother. It's because that she was messing around with my daddy. And when she sees my mother, she would start picking at my mom. And my mom wouldn't say anything back to her. My mom would try to ignore her. Just right. Go ahead on her business. But I guess she got too close to my mama one time. Then my mama jumped on her. You know, it's only so much picking you can
right.
You know, tolerate. And they said that people always told that lady to just leave my mama alone. You know?
Right. So tell us about the day of when she killed your mom.
I remember the night because I remember just crying, begging my mother to stay home. I was begging. I said, I want my mama. I want you to stay home. I don't remember the color of the outfit, but I do remember seeing one of her shoulders out and she having her hair done. And, you know, because you remember bits and pieces, but you don't remember everything.
Right.
But I remember that part. And then I was crying so much, wanting her to stay. And I remember somebody telling me to just shut up. Stop acting like a spoiled child, whatever.
Right.
And my mother left out. And that's the last time I seen her. She went down what we call the hole. And she went to a house party. And at the house party, they were playing dominoes. And my mother was just standing around the table, just watching them playing dominoes that night.
Right.
And then the lady that, Nadine, Lucille, and what we call, another one we call Minnie Pearl, the three of them, they walked into the house they were in. And everybody said they had forgot that my mama was even there because she was so quiet. Mm. She just standing there looking. And then they realized she was still there when they started picking on her. They got into it and they said that they told my mama, don't fight over Junior. That's my daddy. Don't don't fight over him. But at some point, the three ladies left. And right. then when they left, and they said that more than one person told me this. They said that my mama said that they think she can have two. I'm going home, and I'm going to go home and take care of my babies. My mama did have a knife on her, and the knife she had, when she got ready to leave, she threw it in the ground.
Why?
It was still sticking up in the ground because that she was disarming herself, and she was saying that I'm not going to fight. I'm not going to argue with these women.
Right.
She was done. She was through with it. She want my daddy. She going to have it because she was planning on kicking my daddy out, just leaving the relationship.
Mm.
But the way is the whole set up, the lady, she lived down the opposite end of the road that leads out of the hole. But in front of her house, the train tracks were over there. And she was able to cross the railroad tracks down the path. Because that she I guess that she knew that my mama was leaving.
Right.
And this is the only way my mama could get out is go down this road. Mm-hmm. And those three ladies ran home, got a gun down there in front of her house. They crossed over to their path and they ran down there and beat my mama down to the end of the road. And as my mama was walking home, they jumped out of the bushes. They jumped out of there. The lady told my mama, "Don't you move." And my mama tried to walk around the three women.
Mm.
And then when she shot her, shot my mom in the heart.
Wow. How do you know this? You just getting bits and pieces from everybody?
Yeah. People who witnessed this. Because I asked.
Right.
Bradley is a small area, and I knew the grown people. I asked later on, like when I was five.
Right.
Then I asked the grown people down there, because they were all living down there. And plus that my auntie, she owned another auntie, not the one I lived with, but my auntie on my daddy's side. She owned the club down that way.
You know this is given like a movie, right?
I don't know.
Just the way you're describing it, because I can picture it in my head. And then the fact that, like, if you was five, so this was, 44 years ago? Like, and it's in the South. I know exactly what you're talking about in the South. So I could just see, like, the imagery of it, of a woman walking down the street and three women in the bushes hiding.
Yes.
Waiting for her.
Yes. Yes. They ran down that path. That's exactly how where I'm describing it to you is the way it was described to me.
So when you heard it, how did that make you feel?
It made me feel hurt that, brought back the pain of losing my mama again. And then it made me feel that my mama was trying to escape from me.
Right.
She told the people that she was going to break it off with my daddy and that the lady could have my daddy. That she didn't want my daddy anymore because my daddy messing around with a woman that's trying to harm her. Mm. And she has four kids that she needs to take care of.
Right.
And, and she was going to just leave that alone. Because it wasn't the first time, like I told you before, wasn't the first time that my mama and these women got into, all got into it. Okay. They always try to gang my mom.
Right.
After my mama beat the woman up, from then on, it's always been a group to vote against her.
AT&T connects an ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream.
Connect the shower. Lather up with the news, sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work in traffic so slow.
Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories, change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
Are you ready to take charge of your health journey? Look no further than Trinity School of Natural Health. With their flexible online programs, you can receive the comprehensive education you need to care for your loved ones or step into the thriving field of natural health. Why choose Trinity? Because their programs offer more than just coursework. You'll interact with experienced instructors, connect with like-minded peers, and even participate in optional live events to hone your skills. If you've ever thought about becoming a certified natural health professional, the CNHP program at Trinity School of Natural Health is the perfect certification course. You'll equip yourself with the knowledge and skills to make a real difference in the lives of others. Turn your passion for natural health into a rewarding career. Visit trinityschool.org today to learn more about the Certified Natural Health Professional Certification Program. Go to trinityschool.org. That's trinityschool.org. Trinity School of Natural Health. Transform your life. Transform the world.
Snag a Job is where America goes to hire, with the deepest talent pool in hourly hiring. With access to over 6 million active hourly workers, Snag a Job is the all-in-one solution for hiring high-quality employees who can cover all your needs. On demand, temp to hire, part-time or full-time. You name the position: warehouse worker, retail associate, grocery store clerk, fitness trainer, baker, stylist, bellhop, podcast producer. Yeah, Snag a Job's got a worker for that. With our easy-to-use platform, you're able to seamlessly post and fill available positions quickly, with a dedicated customer support team to provide all the help you need along the way. Kind of nice knowing you have a talent pool like that in your own backyard, right? Snagajob is the partner you need to keep your business running smoothly. So visit snagajob.com or text SNAG to 242424 to talk to an expert. Snagajob.com, where America goes to hire.
Got my Prevnar 20 shot. It's a pneumococcal pneumonia vaccine. For us wise folks, it helps protect.
I'm 19, strong.
And asthmatic, and at higher risk? Get vaccinated.
But
nothing when grandma speaks.
Grandson listens.
19 or older with chronic conditions like asthma, diabetes, or chronic heart disease, or 65 plus, you may be at higher risk for pneumococcal pneumonia. Prevnar 20 can help protect you with just one dose.
Prevnar 20 is approved for adults to help prevent infections from 20 strains of the bacteria that cause pneumococcal pneumonia. Continued approval may depend on a supportive study. Don't give Prevnar 20 if you've had a severe allergic reaction to the vaccine or its ingredients. Adults with weakened immune systems may have a lower response to the vaccine. Side effects include pain and swelling at the injection site, fatigue, headache, muscle, and joint pain. For full prescribing information, please call 1-855-213-2138 or visit Prevnar 20.com.
Ask your doctor or pharmacist about getting vaccinated with Prevnar 20, even if you've already received another pneumococcal pneumonia vaccine.
Get emotional with me, Radhi Devlukia, in my new podcast, A Really Good Cry. We're going to talk about and go through all the things that are sometimes difficult to process alone. We're going to go over how to regulate your emotions, diving deep into holistic personal development, and just building your mindset to have a happier, healthier life. We're going to be talking with some of my best friends.
I didn't know we were going to go there on this.
People that I admire.
When we say listen to your body, really tune in to what's going on.
Authors of books that have changed my life.
Now you're talking about sympathy, which is different than empathy, right?
And basically have conversations that can help us get through this crazy thing we call life.
I already believe in myself. I already see myself. And so when people give me an opportunity, I'm just like, oh, great, you see me too.
We'll laugh together, we'll cry together, and find a way through all of our emotions. Never forget, it's okay to cry as long as you make it a really good one. Listen to A Really Good Cry with Radhi Devlukia on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This episode contains sensitive topics. Listener discretion is advised.
But wasn't your father messing with the mistress, the main mistress, messing with her homegirl?
Thing is, though, you probably talking about that, the fact that other three ladies,
right?
One of them is the mother of my oldest brother on my daddy's side. See, they were all cousins. They were cousins.
Daddy was different.
Huh?
Your daddy was different.
Yeah. He wasn't kin to him, so he didn't care.
Right.
He didn't care. And evidently the women didn't care.
Right, because they cousins.
Yeah, they cousins. When I say cousins, I'm talking about first cousins. Two sisters' children.
Right. So how many kids did your father have?
In all, he had seven.
So
my mom and five on our side, but the rest of them, they were much older. I'm the I'm next to the baby, and the next one is like 7 years older than me.
Mm.
Yeah, 7-8 years older. than I am.
So when your mom got shot by her, did anybody see this?
Yes. See, when they seen the women, this is what they told me. When they seen the women, a group of them start running down the road. They were running down the road. They were screaming because they thought that was they were trying to gang fight my mama.
Right.
They didn't know she had a gun until they got right there up there on them. By the time they reached up there, that's when she shot my mother. My uncle from my dad's side, he was there, and he and a couple other men, they loaded my mama up in a car. Instead of calling the ambulance was like 15 minutes away.
Mm.
The hospital they were taking my mother to, they took my mother to, is 45 minutes away.
Why did they do that?
They thought that they could make it to Hope quicker than the ambulance, since the ambulance had to come. Wow. It was stupidity because my mama didn't die until they got in Hope.
So she was alive for 45 minutes.
Yeah, by 45 minutes. That means that she bled out. She didn't have to die. The ambulance could have came in 15 minutes and stopped the bleeding.
Do you think they did that with good intentions?
I think so. I said, one of them was my uncle, and they were close, and I don't know.
Mm.
Because I'm thinking, like, they didn't know the basic concept of first aid, that
right.
The paramedics could have rendered first aid to my mother, and my mama was still alive all of that time.
Right.
She died in my uncle's lap, and my uncle said that the last thing she said was to tell daddy to take care of my babies.
Mm.
And she died.
Wow.
And then when they arrived at the hospital, the doctor pronounced her dead while they're in the car. She was sitting in the car.
Wow. So when did you find out that your mom passed away? Like, who told you at the age of 5? Like, did somebody come to the house or?
The sheriff. The sheriff came to the house, came to our house the next day.
Mm-hmm.
And I wasn't standing. We had an open floor plan. And I was standing in the dining room part, which is far away from the living room door.
Right.
But my older brother, I have an older brother with my mom who's 2 years older than I am.
Mm-hmm.
He just started crying and hollering. Then my auntie, she came up in there. And that's when, because my grandfather wanted to answer the door. And everybody just still hollering, crying. I didn't understand what was going on.
I mean, yeah, you were 5, so how could you?
And then I heard my auntie say that they killed her. They killed her.
Mm.
Really, I did not understand what was going on. And when we went to my mama's funeral, I thought my mama was just laying up there asleep. I didn't understand there was a coffin because she was laying there asleep and the white stuff just looked so comfortable. And she looked like she was just asleep. See, I was used to seeing my mama asleep during the day.
Right. Because
she worked at night.
Right. So when did it finally hit you?
I kept asking my grandfather, where's my mama? After the funeral, I actually thought that my mama would be home before we got there.
Mm.
Because I was there saying, why Mary Nell here to sleep with all these people walking around crying around her? And at the funeral, a woman walked up to me and she said, it's okay to cry. I didn't understand why she thought I was going to cry.
Right.
I just wanted my mama to get herself up and come on here. You know, other words, denial.
Yeah.
Yeah, denial. Because I'm pretty sure I probably knew what death was, but I didn't want to accept that this is what I was thinking.
Or maybe you didn't. Maybe you really thought she was asleep. Especially if that's the first time somebody that was close to you passing away.
Yes. And then when I asked my grandfather about it, he would always say, well, she's taking a long nap.
Right.
She's going on a trip. So that further confused me.
Yeah.
But everything I knew what death was, I probably just never seen death.
We're that close. Yeah, that could be it too. Yeah.
After I was molested, the weight of my mother wasn't being there,
mm-hmm.
and my dad, because that when my mama died, I lost my dad too. because he abandoned us.
Well, wait, what happened to the mistress? Like, did she ever get, did she go to jail or?
I don't know if she went to jail. I can't tell you definitely, but I do know she got 20 years probation.
20 years probation?
Mm-hmm.
For?
Not jail time. She didn't get jail time. Yeah. She pleaded out and the judge gave her probation.
Wow.
She got off probation in 2000.
Oh, so is she still alive?
Yeah. Last place I know her to work was in Children's Hospital in Little Rock.
Wow.
And matter of fact, I was at the Children's Hospital for some reason. And I went inside the cafeteria.
And you saw her?
Yeah. She rung up my food.
Did she recognize you?
I don't know, but I didn't recognize her, but my brother did.
Mm.
And I wanted to go in there and just act a clown, but I didn't.
Wow, but that then is again, crazy.
Then again, he didn't tell me until after we left anyway. So
because he knew you was going to beat her ass.
I don't know. It's not, you know, you don't know how.
You never know. Yep.
Yeah. But I know I was hurt to know that this lady up here ringing up my food that I bought in the cafeteria. And she didn't say anything. Of course, she didn't act like that. She knew me, you know?
Yeah. How did she look? Did she look the same to you? Well, probably not because you didn't recognize her.
No, I didn't recognize her. And that was one of the conditions of her probation. The judge told her that she must leave Bradley and she can't live in Bradley. It was a condition for her probation, too.
Mm.
But my auntie and one of the ladies that was with her when she killed my mama, they got into a shooting match. Yeah. The lady was
shooting.
Mm-hmm. We were living in a duplex. The two of the ladies were over there in the middle part.
Right.
Amy had a rifle and she had a pistol. And until they tore it down, you could see the bullet holes. You know, they tried killing each other.
What y'all be doing in Arkansas?
She tried to kill the lady who killed her sister.
Mm, and this was recent?
No, I'm talking about at the time.
Oh, at the time. So wait, how did your dad handle everything? Because I know you said that he abandoned y'all.
I don't know, but I know that he married another lady that he hasn't even met just a few months after my mama was dead. He probably married her within like a couple months. So he didn't grieve.
Mm. Did y'all ever speak or like what's your relationship like with him now if he's still alive?
He died in 2008. I didn't have a relationship really. When I turned about 10, his wife forced him to come and pick me and my brother up. Mm-hmm. See, he only had just two children by my mother. And she made him come and pick us two up for holiday. But before then, you know, he didn't have anything to do with us.
So he never spoke to you about anything?
No.
Wow.
One time when I was like 14, I brought it up. Then my stepmother, she cut me off, let me know that, you know, don't talk about that. And then she tried to put my mama down, a woman she never met, a woman that was dead when she started messing around with my daddy. And she talking about Junior, he don't like dark-skinned women anyway. He like light-skinned. But my daddy had two kids by two different light-skinned women.
Right.
And he had a baby by two dark-skinned women. I guess he didn't say anything. He just looked at her like, why are you saying that kind of look?
Right.
And my daddy was a light-skinned man. But so what? But what I was thinking at the time when she said that, she was putting my mother down. I had developed a habit of not saying anything.
Mm, you just started to become silent.
Mm-hmm. I had went years where I talked.
How many years?
I probably went by a good 4 or 5 years while speaking.
At all?
Yeah, unless somebody forced me to say something. For example, I wouldn't even tell people my name. I wouldn't tell people anything. And the teachers, they eventually stopped calling my name because they know that I wasn't going to speak.
When did you start doing this?
I started doing this probably when I was like in the second grade.
Wow.
You know, because I said the abuse got so bad for me.
Right.
That I sort of checked out of reality.
So at this point, you're living with your aunt and your grandfather, you and yes. your three siblings.
Yes.
And was she only mean to you or was she mean to everyone else as well?
She was mean to everyone, but I was the main one.
Right.
The boys had to truly do something wrong for her to beat them. Because right. she didn't give us whoopings. She gave us a beat down.
Mm.
And she would beat our grandfather. I watched her beat my grandfather with a hammer.
What? And I went, is that her dad?
Yeah. I can see it. Her running to the kitchen, grabbing a knife. My grandfather laying on the couch. I think he was watching Gunsmoke or something. Out of nowhere, she just went in the kitchen, grabbed a knife, and went over there to him and just grabbed his arm and just started cutting in my grandfather's arm.
What do you think was going on with your aunt?
She was on crack. She was a crackhead and stuff. And a drunk.
Well, there you go. It was the drugs. Have yes. you ever remember her being not being on drugs and doing and drinking?
Mm-hmm.
And how was when, she?
When I was grown.
Right.
It was after she had went to prison and stuff. When she wasn't on drugs, Ebony, she was a total different person.
Right.
When my auntie wasn't on drugs, she was the kindest person that you would want to meet.
Mm.
She stayed off of drugs for a long time when I was grown. I gave birth to my son when I was 18, and she was the only one there for me. Can you believe that?
You know what's so funny? I can. Don't be the main ones.
because she wasn't on drugs.
Yeah.
She was the only one of the family who came to the hospital and visit me.
She probably was trying to right her wrongs.
Yeah. She did apologize when she thought she was dying.
Mm.
I didn't take the apology seriously. No. Because I said, you apologize when you're not in the hospital.
Right. So where is she at now?
She died in 19. Mm. She died from a stroke.
2019. Wow. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. What? Just before the pandemic?
Yeah. And did y'all ever have like a conversation or that was it?
That was it. About the abuse. She apologized. She did apologize again. She did apologize again. But then again, you know, I guess that I wasn't accepting the apology because it was right. just too much. It was just too much. But she did make me feel good when she started, during the time when she wasn't on drugs, that she treated me with motherly love. She treated my child with deep love.
So is it safe to say you forgave her?
I don't know. I guess I don't hate her, but I still hate what happened.
Right.
She gave my body to me.
Well, wait, before we get there, because you was living with your aunt at the age of 5, and that's when the abuse started. Uh-huh. So I don't want to go through every story because I feel like I don't want to, like, when you tell your story, is it re-triggering for you?
Sometimes.
Yeah. So I want to be mindful of that, but how many men would you say took advantage of you?
Oh, I never counted. It probably good close to 10 that I can remember.
Right. Have you ever ran into any of these men as a grown-up? Because you still live in the same place you grew up at, right?
No, I'm living in Hope now. I confronted one of the men about what they did to me, what he did to me. And okay, when I confronted him, I wasn't expecting, you know, like, I'm sorry or apology or nothing. I just told him, I remember what you did to me when I was 7 years old.
And what did he say?
He said, I don't know what you're talking about. Then I said that he molested me. He didn't exactly rape me, but he, well, sticking your finger into a 7-year-old vagina, that is rape.
Yeah. Right.
And he just looking at me and he just stood there looking and stopped talking, you know. And then I just left it at that. Because I just wanted him to know that I remember what you did.
Was this the man that when you was laying with your brothers, he came on top of you and your granddaddy was acting like he was sleeping?
No, that's my auntie's boyfriend.
I thought that was crazy because the fact that your grandfather was acting like he was sleeping and you saw it, I was like, wow.
But that wasn't the only time. The dude that I confronted, I was by 7 years old, and he would come over to our house.
Right.
And he would come and pick me up, and he would sit right there in front of my grandfather, and we was like less than this table, I say by 3 or 4 feet. This table I'm sitting at by 3 or 4 feet wide. We were sitting there close and he would put a blanket on top of us and he would keep molesting me in front of my grandfather.
But do you think your grandfather was scared?
He probably was scared, but what prevented him from calling the police after he left?
Right.
And plus, why did my grandfather blame me for it?
Mm.
My grandfather said that happened to me. That man did that to me because I was fast. This is a man who came in my house. Came and picked me up because I was a kid and he picked me up off the floor and you didn't say anything.
Right.
Another time, the same man, he came up to the house. I was in the kitchen and I just heard a knock on the door. And I didn't hear him say, this is LB, whatever. But my grandfather turned around and to me, you know exactly what he wants to do. Go out through the back door. Because all the time he did something to try to protect me. Telling me that I know good and well what he wanted to do and to run.
AT&T Connects and Ode to Podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower. Lather up with the news, sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work in traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories, change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
Are you ready to take charge of your health journey? Look no further than Trinity School of Natural Health. With their flexible online programs, you can receive the comprehensive education you need to care for your loved ones or step into the thriving field of natural health. Why choose Trinity? Because their programs offer more than just coursework. You'll interact with experienced instructors, connect with like-minded peers, and even participate in optional live events to hone your skills. If you've ever thought about becoming a certified natural health professional, the CNHP program at Trinity School of Natural Health is the perfect certification course. You'll equip yourself with the knowledge and skills to make a real difference in the lives of others. Turn your passion for natural health into a rewarding career. Visit trinityschool.org today to learn more about the Certified Natural Health Professional Certification Program. Go to trinityschool.org. That's trinityschool.org. Trinity School of Natural Health. Transform your life. Transform the world.
Snag a Job is where America goes to hire, with the deepest talent pool in hourly hiring. With access to over 6 million active hourly workers, Snag a Job is the all-in-one solution for hiring high-quality employees who can cover all your needs. On demand, temp to hire, part-time or full-time. You name the position: warehouse worker, retail associate, grocery store clerk, fitness trainer, baker, stylist, bellhop, podcast producer. Yeah, Snag a Job's got a worker for that. With our easy-to-use platform, you're able to seamlessly post and fill available positions quickly, with a dedicated customer support team to provide all the help you need along the way. Kind of nice knowing you have a talent pool like that in your own backyard, right? Snagajob is the partner you need to keep your business running smoothly. So visit snagajob.com or text SNAG to 242424 to talk to an expert. Snagajob.com, where America goes to hire.
Got my Prevnar 20 shot. It's a pneumococcal pneumonia vaccine. For us wise folks, it helps protect.
I'm 19, strong.
And asthmatic, and at higher risk? Get vaccinated.
But
nothing when grandma speaks.
Grandson listens.
19 or older with chronic conditions like asthma, diabetes, or chronic heart disease, or 65 plus, you may be at higher risk for pneumococcal pneumonia. Prevnar 20 can help protect you with just one dose.
Prevnar 20 is approved for adults to help prevent infections from 20 strains of the bacteria that cause pneumococcal pneumonia. Continued approval may depend on a supportive study. Don't get Prevnar 20 if you've had a severe allergic reaction to the vaccine or its ingredients. Adults with weakened immune systems may have a lower response to the vaccine. Side effects include pain and swelling at the injection site, fatigue, headache, muscle, and joint pain. For full prescribing information, please call 1-855-213-2138 or visit Prevnar20.com.
Ask your doctor or pharmacist about getting vaccinated with Prevnar 20, even if you've already received another pneumococcal pneumonia vaccine.
Get emotional with me, Radhi Devlukia, in my new podcast, A Really Good Cry. We're going to talk about and go through all the things that are sometimes difficult to process alone. We're going to go over how to regulate your emotions, diving deep into holistic personal development, and just building your mindset to have a happier, healthier life. We're going to be talking with some of my best friends.
I didn't know we were going to go there on this.
People that I admire.
When we say listen to your body, really tune in to what's going on.
Authors of books that have changed my life.
Now you're talking about sympathy, which is different than empathy, right?
And basically have conversations that can help us get through this crazy thing we call life.
I already believe in myself. I already see myself. And so when people give me an opportunity, I'm just like, oh, great, you see me too.
We'll laugh together, we'll cry together, and find a way through all of our emotions. Never forget, it's okay to cry as long as you make it a really good one. Listen to A Really Good Cry with Radhi Devlukia on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This episode contains sensitive topics. Listener discretion is advised.
You know, when you hear your story, because I'm from the South as well, so when you hear your story and when you share your story, how often do you hear similar stories that's similar to yours from the South? Because I feel like this goes on a lot within our community, but I feel like it also goes on a lot in like these smaller towns in the South. And I'm pretty sure it's all over the world, but just being from the South, especially being like you're a dark skinned woman, being called fast and it's insane.
As I'm growing up, no, I knew several kids that was raped by boyfriends or by uncles. I even knew boys that were raped. So even boys are not safe.
Yeah.
For example, my baby, I'm going to say this because he doesn't watch stuff like this. But my baby brother was raped by my oldest brother. And
is this the same oldest brother that sexually abused
they
you?
Raped me. They raped me. He raped my baby brother. And he told. And my auntie forced him to say another boy actually raped him.
Wow.
Because that she forced my brother to say that another child raped him because she didn't like that child's mother.
Whoa, that is crazy.
So that child got sent off. He got punished, legally punished. And I just found out my brother just told me in 2009 that wasn't true. He said, we was over there to my trailer and he said, do you remember that time when I said that pig raped me and pig got sent off? Pig didn't rape me. Pat just made me say he raped me because she didn't like pig's mom.
That is crazy.
So you can't even, even though the child was raped, could be raped or molested, you still have to wonder whether or not somebody else is making that child point at a different person. But I went and told his mom what my brother told me. And I told her that, you know, that pig didn't do that. No, I let her know.
What did she say?
She just cried. She just asked me questions and then she would just cry.
And where's her son at now?
Pig, I don't know where Pig is. He's not in jail or anything. He with some woman, knowing him. He's a womanizer now. He's not a rapist, but he's a womanizer.
Do you think your brother sexually abused any more other kids?
Yes, I know. Because they say so. As far as I know, I'm the only girl. The rest of the kids he raped were boys.
Wow.
And then I found out when I was like 18, a little bit before. See, I didn't find out that he was the one who raped my brother that time. But I found out years before then that he raped other little boys because the grown-up knew about it.
Do you think something happened to your older brother?
No, he died from a heart attack walking to Walmart.
No, I'm talking about just like, you think somebody sexually abused him?
I don't know. I didn't talk to that boy. You know, he did that to me. And I can remember, we originally from Nacogdoches. And
wait, where y'all from?
Nacogdoches, Texas.
Oh, okay.
We're originally from there. So that's why I didn't know about the older siblings. So they were all from the Bradley area, all from Bradley. And I had been molested many times before that. Then I thought that when I found out that I had an older big brother, I thought that he was going to be my protector. That reason why I put myself in his presence.
Right.
I guess that shattered my world, knowing that he didn't only touch me, he actually took my virginity. You know? Yeah. The rest of the men, they would finger me. To this point, they would finger me because he started raping me when I was 7.
Right.
And then, that's probably the reason why that my aunt started allowing men to rape me.
How are you feeling with all this? Like, do you go to therapy? Like, how do you, like...
I go to therapy.
Okay. Because this is a lot to unpack. Like, do you ever just sit down and just be like, especially with you about to hit a milestone of you turning 50, like you got to be proud of yourself for just, like, being sound mind surviving. And just surviving. No, seriously, because this will have people, like, going crazy.
I don't know why. Going to therapy and stuff, you know, I learned terms for my behavior. I did just disassociate. But it's really not happening to me.
Right.
That happened to me. And I'm in a stage where I'm trying to comfort.
Heal your inner child.
Yes. Because it feels like that sometimes I be like up in the high corner looking.
Yeah.
You know, like in the high corner looking that somebody is hurting. And I can't do anything. I can't say anything.
But does it hurt you that you can't do anything?
The hurt that I feel is the hurt that I carried since then. It seemed like that pain, that hurt, it hasn't went away. It's just something that you learn to cope with.
Yeah, that's a fact.
Yeah, you develop. I'm not talking about multi-personality, but you
just learn how to deal with it.
Yeah, because you have to separate that person from the rest of your being.
Right.
You know, even though that person's always there, that person always pulling, that child is always crying, that child always wants safety. And it causes you to behave in ways that you didn't understand why you behave in a certain way.
Yeah, you got to get to the root of it.
Yeah.
Because sometimes your brain would also protect you from certain things so you won't get triggered and you won't act a certain way.
Yes. That's how I deal with it. Put it inside this box.
Compartmentalize it.
When I get triggered, I don't have to talk about
right.
it but that panic to come in. Then I'm thinking like, gosh, Lee, it's just so much trauma, build up on trauma. It was no relief for
right.
it.
Right.
You know, because then when I got older by 10, a man, right there in front of my grandfather, in front of my auntie, he just leaned over right there in my face. I'm not going to mess with you because you talk to me. Oh, I got a beating for that.
So when did you realize that your aunt was selling you to all of these men?
In my bedroom, when I got awake in my bedroom, in my little mind, I thought it was monsters, right? I didn't realize that it was actual men. That's when my mind connected with actual people. When my auntie had a baby and she forced me to take care of that baby. And I was getting up at night fixing the baby bottle. Mm. And I walked into the kitchen. My auntie was standing there with a man. I knew that they were her boyfriend at the time. Mm-hmm. And she said, there she go. You can have him. You can get him. And he looked at Pat and he said, Pat, I don't mess around with children.
Mm.
She was trying to get her boyfriend to go in there and have sex with him. In my mind, I'm still saying monsters. But one of the men actually came to my room, because that's when I started sleeping on the floor.
Right.
Because I started putting the baby in the bed with my grandfather, and I would sleep on the floor under my bed to hide. And a man came in, and I didn't recognize his voice. He said, "Pat, she's not in here," because he's coming into my room. And I would just see the feet. And, I didn't say anything. And my auntie just started, beating me, talking about that I talk too much and I act like I'm too good for people and stuff. She was talking about that's why nobody wants you, no man wants you. Imagine telling a 9 and 10 year old that because you talk too much and because you act like you're too good, that grown men don't want to have, Imagine how confused I was that why would I want a grown, I didn't understand, even though, just because a child is molested or it's raped, doesn't mean the child understands what sex is.
Yeah. Yeah, a lot of people don't even have the language when they're going through something that's so traumatizing.
Yeah. So if I was able to put two to two together, I was able to put two to two together much later.
Right. Especially during that time. Like the language that we have now was definitely not available 40 years ago. Yeah. Uh-huh. How has this experience shaped your understanding of relationships and family dynamics? Because I know you have your own kids, but I'm pretty sure it got to be hard for you to not only not just trust men, but to trust people in general, right?
You know what? Right. Right.
Especially men.
I've been celibate for 20 years now. I refuse to let men touch me, even though I've been married twice. I even told my first husband, that I'm gonna stop having sex with you. I don't want to have sex with you, and I would pay a prostitute to have sex with you.
So you didn't have sex with your first husband?
I did for a little while. When I say a little while, I mean a little while. I'm talking about like a month, a month or two. I'm not talking about you, because I couldn't stand it. I couldn't stand it. It seemed like that is what balanced to me.
Mm.
You know?
Yeah. It was enjoy
pleasure.
It. Yeah.
It was balance. And I only had sex with my second husband once. I can't. So I just ended. And if I can't stand for a man to touch me, why stay?
Mm.
You know?
Are you going to work through that in therapy? Or do you want to work through that in therapy?
You know what? It's hard to find a good therapist. That's the reason why I'm able to speak about it, because that is mostly just talk therapy. It's not solution based. What helped me to be able to share my story with other people is because I'm watching therapeutic videos.
Right.
Therapists online. They help me more than the ones I see in person. Because just talking about it without reframing it, that's I learned those terms from.
Well, I have a good therapist if you want one. My therapist, I've been going to her for a long, long time. And when people need therapists, I always recommend her because she's a Black woman. She can speak the way that we speak. She understands where we come from. And she has definitely helped me a lot. So if you're interested, I can definitely introduce you to her.
Yes.
Yeah.
I was just thinking in the last month or so, I need to find someone because one of my therapists, I had to try to convince my therapist that a 9 years old child does not want a grown man. There's a male therapist. He said that he just made the remark that a child like that could have a crush on a grown man. I said, no.
Child.
Don't even know about that.
Right.
You might have a crush on a celebrity, someone far away from you, it's not going to have a crush on a man that they can see and touch.
Yeah.
It's going to be some type of, like Michael Jackson or somebody like
and
that.
Even if a child does have a crush on a grown person, that child doesn't know.
Sexual.
It's not sexual. There you go.
It's not sexual. I had to explain to the therapist that a grown person is deflecting what they feel up on that child.
Right.
You know?
Was it hard for you to have a baby?
What are you talking about? Getting pregnant?
Just the thought of like you just having a baby, because I know you don't really enjoy having sex, but like, so just the thought of like everything that you went through, was you afraid to have a child and in fear of something similar, or like just them not, you not wanting them to go through some of the things that you went through, or just anything in life?
Yeah, that's why I stopped at one.
Mm.
And I wouldn't have gotten pregnant by that, or with that one, it wasn't for the fact that my baby daddy, you know, he flushed my pills down the toilet. When I went to the clinic to get some more pills, they made me wait like a week or so, and I was pregnant by then.
Were you mad?
I was hurt. I couldn't get angry. Mm. I still have a problem with anger. I have the delayed emotions. Like, just say someone does something to me or say something out of the way, it'll probably take me days, weeks, or even years to even get mad about whatever they said or did.
Do you think that stemmed from your childhood?
Mm-hmm. I've learned that that's a trauma response with not feeling emotion.
Yeah, just going numb.
Yeah, numb. I call those years, I was the walking dead.
Mm.
I refused to have another child.
Are you close with your child now?
Oh, yeah. Even though I didn't have feelings I couldn't love. I couldn't do, but I still had instinct.
Right.
By reading magazines and books, I knew what to say or what to do with my kid.
Right.
But it was like reading a how-to book and just performing, but not feeling.
Right.
Because I was unable to.
Right.
No.
When you was living with your aunt and as you got older, was there ever a time where you just wanted to like harm them?
The night before I left, I had got a knife, and she would make me sometimes sleep in the living room with her, and she had two kids at this time, and I had planned on when she went to sleep, I was going to kill her, her two children, and my grandfather.
Mm.
And that's all. What made me want to kill her, decided to kill her, is because that night, she's going to look in my face and say, I bet you can eat some P-U-S-S-Y, you know.
She was going to make you eat her out?
I don't know. Well, that's what she told me. But I knew going well that I would die before that happened.
Wow.
The reason why that I had said to myself that I had to kill this. I'm going to kill it. But I'm not a natural killer. So something in me told me to go and lay down, go to sleep. See, usually she would have me up 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning. Even though I had to go to school the next day, she would have me up waiting on her or just listening to her or just staying up at night with her.
Wow.
But this particular night, she said that to me, but she didn't bother me the whole night. Even the kids didn't bother me. I slept all of that night. And that probably was the first time I was able to sleep through the night since for at least 6 or 7 years.
Wow.
You know, the next morning, that's when I started feeling the joy a little bit.
Mm.
I knew that that was the last night I was going to spend in that house.
Mm.
I was 16. And I didn't care if I had to sleep in the road, in a ditch. But after school that day, my school counselor called DHS. And DHS was trying to make me go back home. And he said no. Then, you know, then find out that the whole school knew about it. They knew about the abuse. My abuse wasn't a secret.
But why do you think nobody did nothing in all this time, from 5 to 16?
DHS wouldn't do anything.
Mm.
DHS did come and talk with us when I was in the fifth grade. And the DHS told me I was fast, too.
Wow.
Mrs. Collins, she told me I was fast.
Imagine how many girls were told they were fast when they didn't do anything wrong.
Yeah, because I wasn't the only girl. Don't think that my abuse was something unique in that time.
Yeah, no, that's what I'm saying. Especially in a small town, like, especially the fact
girls are getting pregnant.
Yeah.
Girls are getting pregnant by their dads.
Yeah.
Having babies by their uncles.
Do you feel like your spirituality or your faith played a role in all of this? especially when it comes to your healing process?
Yes. My faith taught me that this is not all it's going to be, that God is going to get rid of the wicked, and that just help me to work towards peace in my heart. But I lean on him to try to keep me propped up, you know.
Right.
To keep me from going insane. Because that having faith in God gives you hope, but it doesn't take away the pain.
Yeah.
It helps you to deal with the pain. It doesn't take it away.
Do you ever question God?
No. By his existence?
No, just by like, why all this happened to me? Like, or were you ever angry with God?
No. You know what? It's funny. That's the message that that the church has taught me, that this is God's plan.
Right. Everything happens for
God
a reason. God
is testing you. I never believed that. I never believed that a loving God would do this to you.
Right.
I never believed that. I never believed that this is some type of plan. Because that, look at all the people in the world.
Right.
And everyone goes through something.
Mm-hmm.
God, a loving God does not think of ways to make your life harder.
So what do you think it was?
See, when I was, that had happened when I was young. A lady in the neighborhood, she did make me read that Bible. And from my understanding from the Bible and speaking with her, that like in Psalms 37, is 9 and 10. I remember those scriptures because that, you know, she made me read it. That God gonna get rid of the wicked, that the righteous gonna possess the earth. So it just telling us to wait a little while longer, right, and we're gonna see what the wicked are. So I believe that. And I believe that when Jesus said that those in the memorial tomb gonna hear his voice. So I knew that things were happening because that God's time to make it all in hasn't come. Mm. You know, it's just like that. This way that I guess that they explained it to me, whatever, that to make my little young mind like that, if a parent leaves and go away, and they give their children instructions, but it's up to the kids to obey the parent while the parent is gone.
Right.
But when the parent comes back, the parent is going to set things straight. Well, I'm waiting for Jesus to come back to set things straight.
Mm.
And plus, he has a parable like that too, you know,
right,
about the rich man leaving and stuff. So I just know that it's happening and that God isn't causing it, but I know something is causing it.
Yeah.
People are just, you know, wicked.
Yeah.
Are just wicked.
Yeah.
Doing bad to children.
Yeah.
No, God is going to say that I'm letting this happen to you for a reason.
Right. Yeah, that's true.
I'm thankful that she and Sister Jones, they used to, when they see me walking down the road or whatnot, they always share the scripture. And because my auntie used to curse the Bible.
Mm.
And my grandfather, he told us when he was younger age that he used to be a member of a traveling gospel group, singing gospel group.
Right.
Yeah.
And last but not least, how do you honor the memory of your mother?
From what people told me about her, it's just taking care of your kids,
mm-hmm,
working for what you have, and don't fight over no man.
Yeah.
If a woman come up and talking about she want my man, she can have him. And I say that I'm not fighting. I'm not arguing. I'm going to throw him, let her know what I'm going to do. I'm going to get his clothes. I'm going to throw it out.
Right.
When a man cheats, I never confront it. I don't confront men about their cheating ways or whatever. Just go.
Yeah.
Because I'm not emotionally attached in the ways.
Right. Right. Well, you know, I'm pretty sure that a lot of people are going to be touched by your story. And just to see that you're still here, you're about to turn 50, you looking good, you know, you're staying true to yourself.
Thank you.
Yeah, like, I'm really proud of you. And I'm happy that we connected. so we can get your story out, because I do believe that it's important for us to share our storylines, because you just never know how it can be someone else's lifeline. So I really do appreciate you.
I realize that.
Yeah.
This is other people's stories. Help me.
Yeah. And to the listeners, if you have any questions, comments, or concerns, please make sure to reach out to me at hello@thephgpodcast.com. And until next time, everyone, later.
The Professional Homegirl Podcast is a production of the Black Effect Podcast Network. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows. Don't forget to subscribe and rate the show. And you can connect with me on social media at the PhD Podcast.
Are you ready to take charge of your health journey? Look no further than Trinity School of Natural Health. With their flexible online programs, you can receive the comprehensive education you need to care for your loved ones or step into the thriving field of natural health. Why choose Trinity? Because their programs offer more than just coursework. You'll interact with experienced instructors, connect with like-minded peers, and even participate in optional live events to hone your skills. If you've ever thought about becoming a certified natural health professional, the CNHP program at Trinity School of Natural Health is the perfect certification course. You'll equip yourself with the knowledge and skills to make a real difference in the lives of others. Turn your passion for natural health into a rewarding career. Visit trinityschool.org today to learn more about the Certified Natural Health Professional Certification Program. Go to trinityschool.org. That's trinityschool.org. Trinity School of Natural Health. Transform your life. Transform the world.
Get emotional with me, Radhi Devlukia, in my new podcast, A Really Good Cry. We're going to be talking with some of my best friends.
I didn't know we were going to go there on this.
People that I admire.
When we say listen to your body, really tune in to what's going on.
Authors of books that have changed my life.
Now you're talking about sympathy, which is different than empathy, right?
Never forget, it's okay to cry as long as you make it a really good one. Listen to A Really Good Cry with Radhi Devlukia on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's brand new season 2. I'm Marissa Thalberg.
And I'm Stephen Wolf at Adam. And we're excited to be back having bigger, bolder, and always real conversations.
Straight from the C-suite front lines of marketing, media, and more.
We have great friends joining from people you may know, like Wilmer Valderrama and Bobby Burke.
And people you'll want to know. So grab a coffee or, hey, even an Aperol Spritz and come join us on America's number one podcast network, iHeart.
Listen to Brand New on the iHeart Radio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Imagine you're a fly on the wall at a dinner between the mafia, the CIA, and the KGB. That's where my new podcast begins. This is Neil Strauss, host of To Live and Die in LA, and I wanted to quickly tell you about an intense new series about a dangerous spy taught to seduce men for their secrets and sometimes their lives. From Tenderfoot TV, this is To Die For. To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Elevation with Stephen Furtick podcast was created with you in mind. This is a podcast for those feeling discouraged or needing guidance from God. Together in this podcast, we'll dive deep into scripture, uncover the powerful truths that will help you rise above your limitations and embrace your full potential. We're here to equip you with the tools you need to conquer life's challenges. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.